SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The only place in football where the offense is always on the field is on Moneyline. With the two best hosts in radio, Donnie Wrightside.
If anybody wasn't watching, listen, I don't know what you were doing.
And Kevin Walsh.
Forget, act like you've been there before.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
All right, let's get after it. Live with you on a Tuesday solo style. I'm Kevin Walsh here. This is Moneyline on Sports Grid Radio. Sirius XM Channel 159. Appreciate you stopping by. Sports Grid On Demand. If you'd like to get involved in that always coveted chat box on YouTube as well, as we've got an hour here to run the gauntlet a little bit. I'm sure a lot of you, Major League Baseball postseason today has your full attention. Four games beginning at around 2:30 Eastern time. Two games then a little bit later on tonight. You know, the nature of the baseball postseason and this wild card round, we get day baseball, which is a bit of a treat, games with that type of stakes. We've got some aces going, Tarik Skubal, Corbin Burns. We have an ace missing. That would be Chris Sale of the Atlanta Braves due to his injury. And we have a few updated markets as well, which is nice to see. You know, the home run leader, stolen base leader. A few of these markets, you know, are, it's almost feel Ohtani based. I'm surprised there are no pitching leader markets. I don't know if that is because the books are struggling a little bit with the lack of health due to some of the key names. You think about the Dodgers staff. I just mentioned Chris Sale. That's possible. But again, those disadvantages for the books are the same disadvantages that we would be looking at ourselves trying to sift through those markets. At the start of this Major League Baseball postseason, the World Series favorites is going to be the LA Dodgers, followed by the Yankees and the Philadelphia Phillies. That would be your tier one line of teams. And for me, I think one thing that I know this postseason I am going to be really, really fascinated in, and it is more in the National League than the American League, but it probably applies to both. If you look at last year's National League postseason, there were two great teams who were head and shoulders above the entire NL, the Los Angeles Dodgers and the Atlanta Braves. Last year, they were the only 100-win teams in the NL. The Braves were 12 games better than the Milwaukee Brewers, and the Dodgers 8 games better. Those teams, in fact, were two of the three teams that we saw win 100 games, with Baltimore in the American League being the other. And again, that kind of goes to the point I'm going to make is, of our three 100-win teams last year, none of them played in the Champion Series, AL or NLCS. That cannot be. Those teams have home field advantage and play in one series before they would be able to then advance to the CS. And if you look at it, the changing postseason format, we have not seen that bye be a benefit. And there's legitimate arguments building that it is a negative. Now, this season, if you look in the American League or even in the National League, it has not been, there's not as big of a gap. 98 wins for the LA Dodgers ends up with them having the top record in the NL, top record overall in baseball. The Philadelphia Phillies at 95 wins is the second best record in all of baseball. Those 95 Philadelphia Phillies victories, it's just one more than, or two more, excuse me, than the Milwaukee Brewers. However, the Dodgers and Phillies, just like last year with the Dodgers and the Braves have spent all season as the two best teams in this league. I am not telling you that if one of them doesn't win the World Series, the format is a sham. I'm not even telling you that one of them has to represent the NL in the World Series, though I think it should play out that way. If we once again get to the NLCS and we are breaking down a matchup that doesn't involve both the Dodgers and the Philadelphia Phillies, that is a huge problem. Again, I think they both should get there. But the fact that last year neither Atlanta or LA were there is a massive red flag to their format. It is. And it is not to say that, oh, I can't stand upsets. I'm not doing something where, oh, TV ratings-wise, you're killing us by getting these other teams in. It's not that. You play 162 games. And you want the teams who prevail at the end of those 162 to be given the benefits of your postseason format, because that's how this stuff works. The Dodgers are going to be given home field advantage plus the bye because the way the format is structured is they've earned those benefits. Well, a sample size is building that those are not benefits and that they are detriments, that they are negatives. If we are breaking down an NLCS of Brewers Padres, I don't care that they both won 93 games, only two less than Philly and five less than LA. If we're breaking down Brewers Padres, they have to change the format. It is that simple. And I know people will hate the format change if it is adding more teams, but that's the only way they can go. Currently, it is a 6-team in each of the leagues, 30 teams. You're sending 12 to the postseason overall. The NBA, 30 teams, they send 16. The NHL, 30 teams, they send 16. The NFL, 32, they send 14, a little bit less, a little bit less, right? The WNBA has 12 teams, they send 8 of them to the playoffs. I'm not telling you the number that Major League Baseball at this moment sends is bad, okay? I'm telling you that Major League Baseball might have a format on their hands that is costing the best teams in their league from having deep postseason runs. And if that is so, they need to make a change, and the change on the plate is one of the most obvious changes, a change that is probably going to come anyway. Because if baseball adds one more team in each of these, or two more teams, excuse me, in each of these, right? Do you think the Yankees are going to be that upset now? Do you think their front office is going to be upset they have to play 3 home games possibly in the wild card round? Revenue, revenue, revenue. You think the Minnesota Twins are going to be upset that now they're just in the playoffs compared to not being in the playoffs, or the Arizona Diamondbacks? It's a change that's likely coming anyway. It's that baseball needs to fast-track that change if we're watching a Champions League series that's going to get taken place between the Royals and the Detroit Tigers. That cannot happen. Just can't. All right? I'll tell you what can happen, though. It's giving up on the Miami Dolphins. It's getting closer and closer, folks. We'll talk about it next here on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Jump in the mix yet? Who we got there? Jordan P. early in the mix. We'd love to see it. Shout out JP. JP and I talking a little before the show. NBA season yesterday. Media days. It's around the corner. And I'm not trying to run people off, but you know there's going to be some NBA Tuesdays, right? Like this is my solo style right here. You know we're going to do some NBA Tuesdays. We have NBA on Friday, some preseason action. The one thing I'll just say, it'll be interesting, the LeBron-Bronny stuff. And again, I know for a lot of people, eye roll. I get it. I do. Well, I don't get it. I am not surprised by it. I think, honestly, you should reevaluate. But anyway, do they let LeBron and Bronny play together on the court in the preseason? It seems like they're going to build it up until they can then do it for the opening of the regular season, which is, no surprise, on a Tuesday, October 22nd, Lakers, Timberwolves, Celtics, Knicks. Excited for all of that. And, you know, I'm going to start getting involved with my futures. And last year, I was able to, you know, ping the Western Conference winner preseason. That was the Dallas Mavericks, which was awesome. And, you know, you love when a future comes in. And the beautiful thing about betting those futures and when it's early in the year is, you know, it's hard to feel like, I'm done. Confidence is supposed to stick with you for a little while, right? Or some level of optimism. Optimism is fleeting on my Miami Dolphins AFC tickets. And look, I can easily chalk up the state of the Dolphins to Tagovailoa's injuries. And I wouldn't be wrong to chalk those up to Tua Tagovailoa's injuries. Again, Tua threw for 338 yards in week number one. He was the passing leader in the opening week of the season. If you take a look at the Miami Dolphins, Tua Tagovailoa, who has not played since the back end of that Bills game, is still leading this team in passing. Tua has thrown for more yards. And you might say, oh, that's because it's Skyler, then Huntley, then Boyle. Skyler, Huntley, Boyle, all combined, Tua has thrown for more yards. Like, it's just, it's so bad. But I think my lack of any optimism is it's not even when Tua gets back. It's seeing Mike McDaniel, I think, have an opportunity to prove that he can be a top coach in this league and completely go the other way. The game against Seattle, look, the Seahawks, I think, have a good defense. I know that the Lions completely abuse them. But the Lions are one of the best offenses in football. The Lions haven't had a breakout game in quite some time on the offensive side of the football, certainly throughout this season. The Lions were going to be super focused because they've lost to Seattle in consecutive years. And Seattle was banged up to the nth degree. And so I'm covering for Miami for what they did in that game against Seattle. I really am. The game against the Titans, though, you can't cover for. The Titans' best defensive player in Jeffrey Simmons out. Lajarius Sneed played but injured, the corner that they brought over from the Chiefs last season. And everything about the Dolphins was sloppy, was inconsistent, and it was baffling, I think, at a lot of times. You know, the idea on Devon Achane is he's an explosive runner, yet somehow 10 carries for 15 yards. I mean, sure, we can, you know, the player has to take some onus, but you're telling me that one of the most explosive players in football in Devon Achane hardly can leave this game with more carries than Jalen Wright. And I know people are like, well, Jalen Wright was better than him in the game. That's timing. That's design. I really do believe that. Tyreek Hill, 23 yards. That can't be. That can't be. 96 passing yards if you're the Miami Dolphins. That cannot be. So the issue is, when you think about the schedule, the four games that this team was set to play without Tua, at Seattle, okay, right, not good, hosting the Titans, they were favorites in the football game. Go to New England, they were look-ahead favorites. It's flipped due to how bad they were. It's still under a field goal. Bye week at the Colts, could be on a backup quarterback. I know Joe Flacco is, like, the Dolphins would kill for Flacco right now, right? But that is, again, a game that would project around a field goal. You look at, again, the Seattle game was lost, and it was lost. But home against the Titans at New England and at Indianapolis, you look at that and think to yourself, we could go 2-1 here. We could. We could go 2-1 here, right? We're not going to go 3-0. We're not going to go 3-0 with backups, but we could. Well, the first result is getting absolutely destroyed by a Tennessee Titans team that in the first quarter of the game lost their starting quarterback in Will Levis. Not before he could throw you an interception and get you a short field, by the way, right? Will Levis went out there, pick, dove for a first down that he did or didn't get. I still can't really figure it out. And in comes Mason Rudolph. They put 31 up in your building. First time since 2021, they scored 30-plus points, the Titans. That is nuts. It really is. So for the Miami Dolphins, confidence is sinking. No other way to describe it. At New England is a must-win game if the Miami Dolphins are going to even remotely salvage this season. And I think it's fair to say they lose to New England and they lose to Indianapolis. They may not even bring back Tua Tagovailoa at that point. Risk it for what? A 1-5 football team? Very, very, very unlikely. We're back with you right here on Sports Grid, Week 5 look-ahead style. We're moving.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're back to right here. We are on Sports Grid. And if I may, we're going to do some Week 5 NFL look-ahead lines. I have been very selective in my sides this season. It's been odd. I think you guys know me well enough to know I'm not inflating any records. I have no reason to do that. That's ridiculous. We own the losses. We own the wins. So far this season through 4 weeks, I've bet 16 NFL spreads, and I'm very happy. I'm at 12-4. It's an awesome start, right? And I've been very selective in my spreads, right? Not forcing the issue. The weird thing is I'm 0-3 on best bet spreads. I have no idea how someone pulls that off, but that's what I've pulled off. I'm 12-1 when a spread isn't my best bet. What a mess. But I've been very selective, right? And again, it's been good. It's been fun. I've enjoyed it. I told myself coming into this year I would be doing a lot more sides. I had a really fun summer with Major League Baseball, more money lines and run lines and things like that. Just, you know, for guys who have and girls who have been out there with us on the radio, myself and Donnie, whether it was In Play Sports Tonight or Moneyline, there was kind of a shift away from spreads, team totals, props. And those are great. They're absolutely great. But I still think the foundation of sports betting is still spreads. And I think for me, it was just about getting comfortable and in that rhythm betting those. And that's what I was doing over the summer. WNBA, some spreads as well. And I've been doing them with the college and I've been doing them with the NFL. I admittedly haven't tracked my college spreads as much. I should get a handle on that. And I will. And I'll report back to everybody. I will, because I shouldn't just sit here and tell you, 12-4 NFL sides and then not let you know what the college is. But I've been selective, right? Like I said, through 4 weeks, that, you know, it's worked out to about 4 a week. I did my look aheads for week 5, and there are 9 standout games. 9. You're talking more than 50% of what I've done throughout the season could potentially be actionable for this upcoming week. Now, things will drop off as we get closer. Numbers will be lost as we get closer. I don't bet, like, I don't have any bets yet for week 5. That's not who I am. That's not how I like to bet. I know that for people, it's the complete opposite. They like to run to the window, get the best of the number, and that's great. That is absolutely great. I'm not saying that that's negative at all. It's not how I like to do it. I place my wagers Saturday night, Sunday morning, and I'm good with that. I am. I really am. But since I like so many, I figure, hey, let's talk about a couple of these. Let's let people know where my eye is, right? There's a few advantages out there, a few numbers that are on the move. But there is one game above the rest that when I saw the matchup and I tried to predict that spread, I was so incredibly wrong. I thought there has to be a quarterback injury. There has to be a massive defensive injury. There has to be the whole offensive line. I don't know what's going on. So I will throw to the people the Chicago Bears and the Carolina Panthers. And we'll do this on the other side. What do you think the week 5 line is for Chicago, Carolina in Chicago, Bears at home? Caleb Williams against Andy Dalton. Those injuries that I was like, what? So who's not there? They're not there. What do you believe the line for Bears Panthers is? I asked yesterday. I wanted to get the pulse of some people in the mix at our studios, and nobody was as high as or low as I necessarily was on the game. Some people were around the number. What do you think the spread is for Bears Panthers? I will tell you what it is, and I will tell you what I thought it would be and what I like for that game after our commercial break. I figure just why not have a little bit of fun with some of these look-ahead lines. And then also at some point, now that I'm remembering that it is a Tuesday, maybe we can call Anthony Towns. Anyone still interested in talking a little Cat, a little Knicks futures, Timberwolves, and that nightmare of a decision that they made? Don't let anybody tell you differently. I'll tell you exactly why here.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Now we're back to right here on this Tuesday. We're going to get to some week 5 look ahead lines. Bears Panthers. What do you think that number is? Yesterday someone said 5. 6-4. I'll tell you what I thought it was in a minute. I want to just quickly do this. Karl Anthony Towns to the New York Knicks. Minnesota Timberwolves get back Dante DiVincenzo, Julius Randle, and a future first that belongs to the Detroit Pistons. For the Knicks, this is an incredible move. An incredible move. The overthinks out there from people are laughable. I really, like, so bad. Karl Anthony Towns has made an all-star team in the Western Conference. Karl Anthony Towns in one player replaces everything you just sent out in Dante and Julius. The size of Julius Randle, the positional needs that you have, Cat checks that box. People were texting me, man, what about Dante's shooting? You know how Dante just had a career year from behind the arc? Yeah, Cat shot it better from behind the arc last year. I know Cat's annoying for people. He really is the best shooting big man of all time. Like, Dirk is a better basketball player. But just at shooting three-pointers, Karl Anthony Towns does take the cake. The Knicks five of Brunson, Bridges, OG, Hart, and Cat. I mean, that's fantastic. What are we overthinking here? I mean, really, Julius Randle has proven that they should not be trusting him in the postseason. And you might say, oh, but Cat had some bad moments last year. He did. He had some great ones as well. Here's the big difference, though. Hey, Cat, listen, Brunson's got it going. OG's having a nice game. Can you go be an absolute elite knockdown spot-up corner three guy? Yes. Is that what you want out of Randle? You don't need that. You don't need that. You don't. But all right, hey, listen, we need to get some easy baskets, post touches. Cat, you got us? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. There are some defensive concerns that people have about protecting the rim. Here's the reality, though. Those concerns existed with Julius on the roster. Julius couldn't defend the rim. Doesn't make any sense. So in order to defend the rim, if you need Mitchell Robinson out there, right, who's the better partner for Mitch Rob? Cat or Randle? What are we talking about? Obviously Cat. Obviously Cat, who can step out on the offensive side. I know Julius can shoot. He's nowhere near the shooter Karl Anthony Towns is, though. Cat literally has experience playing next to a 7-footer and Rudy Gobert. So in terms of shot blocking, I'd rather have Cat than Julius Randle. Plus, that team's going to try and hang their hat on perimeter defense, of course, with Mikal Bridges and OG Anunoby. So for the Knicks, love the move. The Timberwolves, I'm surprised at how many people have convinced themselves this is good. I really am. So you look at what they've done, and in terms of the starting lineup, right, it's a Cat for Randle swap. McDaniels, Ant, Conley, Gobert will all stay in their slots. You bring in Dante DiVincenzo as a key bench piece, but he's not the sixth man because you have the reigning sixth man of the year in Naz Reid. Does he come off the bench before Nickeil Alexander-Walker? In the same range. I don't want to downplay Dante, who had a great postseason for the Knicks, but Minnesota really does like Naw, and Naw's more of a point guard than Dante DiVincenzo is. So it's reasonable that you downgraded your power forward position. Again, we can debate that as much as anybody wants. Cat's better than Julius Randle. You downgraded your power forward position while getting your eighth man in Dante. But that's why the Timberwolves immediately started pushing, this is good for the future, good for the future. This will help us build around Ant. What? What are you talking about? Because you have a picked up alongs to the Pistons? You just won 50-plus games and were in the Western Conference Finals. What are you hitting a rebuild? What are you talking about? Julius Randle can walk next year. Now you probably have to pay Julius Randle to save face, right? And again, that's if Julius ends up being a fit with this basketball team. I don't think clearly the three-point shooting that Karl Anthony Towns brings clearly not being valued enough in that Minnesota front office whatsoever. And if Randle in a contract year is focused on getting his, that's not going to be a benefit whatsoever. I know that people get annoyed when we just take, you know, young stars in smaller markets and shift them all over the place, but that's the sport. That is the sport. And I look at this trade as something that I think very likely people will look back on and be like, yep, that was one of the major dominoes that led Anthony Edwards leaving the Minnesota Timberwolves. Because if this team ends up losing Randle and Gobert drops off, and then Ant's looking around like, I mean, this isn't working. The Timberwolves are trying what? Trade Ant, salvage it, bring back an ungodly amount of picks, and hit the reset button. We shouldn't be talking about the reset button, though, for a team whose best player is 23 years old and was just in the Western Conference Finals. But it feels like we are. It feels like we are. I think Minnesota made a mess. I can't even believe that. Like, Julius Randle to me looked like a negative asset when you can, like, I know he's a good basketball player, but if you look around, like, I felt like the idea was you were going to have to attach to get off of Julius. They brought back Karl Anthony Towns. I mean, that's just aces out of the New York. That is absolutely incredible, I think, by the New York Knicks, in my opinion, in my estimation. I don't think they could have done much better. Let me not hold people too much for anybody that is very, very interesting. with the Bears and the Panthers. The Chicago Bears at home are a 3.5-point favorite to the Carolina Panthers. I thought that this line would be at least 7, if not 7.5. Now, again, you can say that makes me crazy. Unless we have completely punted on home field advantage, this line just is not making much of any sense to me at all. The Panthers were just 5.5-point underdogs at home to the Cincinnati Bengals. They ended up losing that game by 7, or by 10, excuse me. They lost that game by 10. How, and they were down by 17 late in the third quarter. So they didn't cover the number, and they weren't necessarily close to covering the number. I know they moved the football in the game. I understand that, but Cincinnati's defense is atrocious. That is the results are in. But the Bengals' defense is very bad. So again, a 5.5-point number in your own building. Even if home field advantage is down to being worth 1 point, that means if you flip this Cincinnati game from Carolina to Cincinnati, it would be 7.5. That's what that means. Have you out there watched this season and thought to yourself that on a neutral field, the Bengals are a 4-point team better and the Chicago Bears? I've not seen that at all. Not even a little bit. Like, I know with Burrow and that offense, there's a level that they can get to. But the Bears' defense is good. And the Bears' offense is getting better. I would view the Bears and the Bengals pretty similarly, power rating-wise. A 4-point gap here. It is a stunning number to me, and I will very likely end up all over the Chicago Bears in week number 5. A few other games that I'm looking at, plus some college football talk for you, live on a Tuesday on Sports Grid Radio. We'll be right back here, Sirius XM, channel 159.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right. What do we say, folks? Live here on Moneyline. It's a Tuesday. I'll go through a little bit of rapid fire because I do want to get to some college, but I want to let you know some of the numbers that have really caught my eye. Now, things are going to move. I'm telling you right now, things are going to move. That's how they go. Vikings-Jets. I'm interested in the Jets. Little by low, little bounce back at 2.5 points. I think if the Jets did not have that disgrace of a performance against the Denver Broncos, they might be favored in this football game. I'd love to get a field goal if I could. I probably won't be able to get that. A total at 40.5 is a really interesting number. They play indoors when they go overseas, I believe. So maybe that game opens up a little bit. I'm interested early in the Jets at 2.5. The Dolphins and the Patriots, I am a little interested in Miami, actually. I know that we've talked about how bad things have been for that team. One thing that would get me to Miami is Tyler Huntley being in that building for about 10 days. Not having a great grasp of the offense and the timing that's required to make things go with your Tyreek Hills and Jalen Waddles and Devon Achane's. I'm interested in Miami. The game is a pure pick right now. That might be It's probably not going to be enough to get me there, but I do think the Dolphins could bounce back. The one total I was eyeing up, Texans Bills, that number was 46.5. It's already up to 47.5, which does make a lot of sense. I think that game will have a lot of points in it. Jags Colts, Jacksonville catches my eye a little bit. This is going to be, I think, the debate point for people is Anthony Richardson, Joe Flacco, and what's that spread shift? There are going to be people in the market who will tell you that it's a positive for Indianapolis. That's what people are going to say. I go the other way. I think Anthony Richardson provides a ceiling that Flacco does not. You could certainly say Flacco provides a better floor, but I'm interested in the Jaguars at home under a field goal. Don't forget, you also have the injury there to Jonathan Taylor, which might be even more significant than the quarterback situation. Cardinals catching my eye at 7.5. Now, maybe I need to not make a habit of betting against the Niners. One thing that I messed up with, I was on the Patriots at 10.5, is I had too much faith that Trent Williams was going to miss that game, and he did not ultimately miss that game. Now, the Patriots had their opportunities there. That wasn't the end-all, be-all of my handicap, but it was something that I thought was going to work in my favor, and it did not. Arizona's a little interesting, though, at 7.5. They have a far more competent offense, we know, and they just got rolled last week in their game against Washington. So I have some interest in Arizona. I have interest in Denver. I do. The Broncos are better than the Raiders to me. And again, we know that Denver has a good home field advantage playing at Mile High. Raiders coming off of a loss they never should have had, probably against the Browns. I'm a bit interested in a Denver team who all of a sudden might have a good defense, which is actually one of the bigger surprises of the year. Packers-Rams, this is a number that's already on the shift, and it should be. And it could be on the shift enough to where I won't play it. But the Packers were 3.5-point favorites on the road against the Rams. I'll look at the Rams. I may get there at 3, but I think that the Los Angeles Rams at home, little bounce back off of the Bears. I know people are going to be looking to bet Jordan Love in that game. I don't really know how they spotted Minnesota, that 21-0, 28-0 lead. That was really bad, the Green Bay Packers. But at 3.5, I know the Rams' home field advantage isn't amazing, but it's worth something in my opinion. It really is. So I thought that line was a little bit surprising. Seattle at 6.5, if Malik Nabers misses the game. Under a touchdown, if Nabers is out, they have to be a look, Seattle. They just do. That's how important he's been. He's more important to the spread, Malik Nabers, than Daniel Jones is. That's not even an attack on Daniel Jones. How can anybody disagree with that? So that's one of the big things. Dallas-Pittsburgh, I'm not going to end up betting that game. It's a good Pittsburgh spot, but that's why Pittsburgh's favored in the game. Parsons is out. It's a good Pittsburgh spot, but I'm probably going to back off that game. So just a few of the numbers that I'm looking at for the NFL. And I'm excited, man. I'm excited to get involved with these games here this week. Well, again, we'll see what materializes, but there's more games than I have seen in a bit that I think I could find myself involved there. You know, we had with the NFL, a few of the MVP candidates, right? Not necessarily show up, right? You think about Josh in the loss, Mahomes in the win. And you look at this market right now, those are the top two choices. What would be the odds I could get on neither one of them winning this award is my question. Because Josh Allen is not going to win league's MVP unless Buffalo wins 12 games, probably, is what I would say. They probably need about 12 wins. Now, the current win total is 11.5, slight juice under. But Josh Allen is going to have a really big season. But here's the thing. Josh Allen is also currently 20th in passing yards in the league. Now, I know it's a total yards, total touchdowns thing with Josh. He's got the second-best passer rating behind Sam Darnold. But just for me, I am I can't get to Josh yet because it's going to require a lot more out of Buffalo. Pat Mahomes right now is, like, if the season ended today and you put Pat Mahomes on your ballot, you're out of your mind. He's 18th in passer rating through four games, and he is 17th in QBR. The stats don't have to be end-all, be-all. But I'm pretty sure if you're the favorite to win the league MVP, you maybe should check in top 10 in any of these statistics, right? Six touchdowns, five picks, 900 yards. Like, this isn't – Pat Mahomes does not play good football. But the Chiefs number, the whole point of it is, they're 4-0. Like, if they go unbeaten, he's MVP. Okay, are they going to go unbeaten? No. Not going to go unbeaten. We know that. Come on now. Let's not be crazy. The NFL MVP is annoying. The Heisman is a lot of fun. We'll close out Moneyline with that next right here on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In the mix, let's see, Chris Brady jumps in. Tigers money line came down 5 cents overnight. Team total over 2.5 went up 5 cents. That totals a flat six. Any interest? Might get there. We'll see. Any baseball bets I'll place, I'll tweet them out to the people. All right, how about that? I have the Braves and the Orioles tickets, so I'm not running to do anything just yet. All right, let's talk Heisman quickly. So going into the slate, I went after Dylan Gabriel in the market at 11-1 and 13-1. I will tell people this, for me, and everybody can feel differently, the way these sports books are now, you get a lot of free bets and no sweat tokens and things like that, and I love using those to get involved in the futures market, certainly with the college football as well, right? As you can see, my co-host is here right now. Excited that the show's almost over. Sit. It also allows to get in on a few different places, right? And because you obviously are trying to make a profit. Well, if you're using a free bet, right, you've got a nice opportunity there. It allows you to then maybe grab a few other people. My preseason action on Ollie Gordon was, you get a chunk of these free bets, right? So I was in it, but I'm not like dead in the market, right? Where I can reinvest, right? So I come back in with some Dylan Gabriel at 13-1. The reality is Dylan Gabriel had the caliber of day that I was looking for, right? Dylan Gabriel goes out there against UCLA, has his first three passing touchdown game, tosses for 278, right? And that's fine. I didn't need Dylan Gabriel to throw for 405. I thought he could have a better game, right? What went wrong for the Dylan Gabriel ticket and why that number has dropped back to the degree that it has is the people that are in – so Cam Ward, Jalen Milroe, Travis Hunter, Ashton Jeanty, those are the – four guys in front of him. Every single thing that could have gone right for those guys went right. Cam Ward in the game against Va Tech completes the comeback, five total touchdowns, 400 total yards of offense, right? That continues to shift his number down. Obviously, Jalen Milroe against the Georgia Bulldogs goes out there, gives you four total touchdowns, 500 yards of offense nearly, and that's going to get him, status as the favorite, and it absolutely should. Ashton Jeanty, who is on pace to maybe have the best running back season in the history of college football, Washington State. Yeah, here's 259 carries and four scores. Me, oh my. He's on pace for 2,500 yards and 39 rushing touchdowns. It's crazy what we're seeing from Ashton Jeanty. And then there's Travis Hunter. Well, Travis Hunter goes out there I mean, we know that he's always in the mix offensively, and he was again. 9 grabs, 89 yards, caught another touchdown, pairs it with a pick and a Heisman pose as they go to UCF, Colorado does, as 14.5-point dogs, 14.5-point dogs, and win that game by a billion. And that's what really crushed Gabriel is Colorado wins outright. Bama slight home dog wins. Miami avoids the upset. Boise avoids the upset. Boise was under a touchdown favorite in that game. So as somebody who's on Gabriel, I'm not abandoning ship, right? I'm not taking free bets. Oh, let me jump on any of these guys here. What I'm going to be very interested, though, is how do any of that top four survive a loss? Jackson Dart was in that category. He's now 20-1. They lose at home to Kentucky. If you look at these guys and their teams, Colorado, Boise, Bama, and Miami, there are very likely going to still be losses somewhere. Funny enough, the one who doesn't project as much to have a loss would be Boise. Now, all of a sudden, they might have a ranked game with UNLV. Outside of that, they may be favorites in all their games. Of that top group, from a number perspective, Genty catches my eye the most. We stay calm. We got Gabriel prime time on Friday, and I look forward to that. I look forward to being back with you on Moneyline Thursday on Game Time Decisions tonight. We got football full circle next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.